Colleges and universities around Connecticut are all wrestling with what the country is wrestling with, how and when to get back to business amidst a global pandemic. UConn's Board of Trustees met virtually this morning to talk about their plans. On that call was UConn President Tom Katsoulias, whom we now welcome to the program. I read about a memo you sent out asking faculty and staff to prepare to teach the university's fall semester online, but then I read that the request was for, quote, planning purposes only, and that a final decision would be made sometime before June 30th. Is that all accurate, and has there been any developments on that front?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. The public health experts tell us that what we need to know in order to make decisions about what kind of scenario we can return to in the fall, we won't know until the June-July timeframe. So we were preparing for four possible scenarios, and we've asked faculty to prepare for those. And we feel like the most effective way for them to prepare is to prepare for online, and then that's sort of like preparing for the worst, and we're working towards the best and doing a bunch of scenario planning to think about how we can safely bring students, faculty, and staff back to campus as soon as possible.
I think a lot of us have been assuming that this would be a 1 year to maybe 18-month situation before a vaccine's available. What if it's 3 years? How does that change the calculus?
Worst-case scenario we're planning for is to be ready for online in the fall. We're not really preparing for beyond that. If we needed to, along with everyone else, we could. But, you know, I think that we have enough lead time just preparing for the fall. And, of course, our best-case scenario would be to bring everybody back in the fall, possibly with, modifications to the calendar, possibly with modifications to things like large classrooms and the way we approach those.
What plans do you and the board, what do you have for this situation when you do officially reopen campus, but there are many people, faculty, students, staff, and whatnot, who still don't feel comfortable being around people and being in crowds like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we think we're going to be able to offer the choice for students and faculty. Certainly in the fall, our expectation that all faculty and staff who can work from home will be allowed to work from home. And so if you have a faculty member who's in an at-risk situation, they can deliver their course online. The flip side of that is that that creates an opportunity. We hope to have enough online offerings in the fall that students who are in perhaps a high-risk category or simply don't feel comfortable with coming back will be able to complete a full schedule and make progress with the online offerings that we'll be making available to them. And we're also exploring creative approaches, calendar adjustments, larger classes being online, small classes in person, reconfiguration of our physical plant facilities to make it safer.
Well, sir, I want to go back to the reconfiguring the physical plant around UConn. I mean, how can you? There's so many students on campus. How will things look different? How will the student experience change?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things to do with, you know, entry and egress. There's, there's technologies available, infrared cameras and things like that, that one can mount on buildings. We're exploring all of those things. There's spacing people out in classes, thinking about making sure doors are open and hand sanitation stations are all in the right places. It's a lot of little things. And there's also, depending on where we are, you know, in the fall, there's also scenarios where we have platoons where we have half the density on campus at one time and then switch. So that might be a transition approach. So there's all kinds of things that our academic leaders and faculty are working on, and I'm optimistic about the creativity they'll bring to it and what they might come up with that ensures that we keep people safe.
I think many listeners would flog me for waiting as long as I've waited to get to this question. What is the status of the fall sports season and beyond?
Well, I don't want you to be flogged, and hopefully don't want them to flog me either.
That makes two of us.
First of all, nothing's been decided. The other answer to that question is, you know, I think Connecticut will be very engaged in that decision-making process, including engaging our athletic director, David Benedict, But more than that, no university can make a decision about intercollegiate competitions, in a vacuum. You can't decide to compete with somebody without actually being in collaboration and consultation and an accord with the people you're competing with. So we do think it will involve discussions with our conference. Hooray for the Big East and the NCAA.
Well, here's the money question, literally. What sort of financial hit is UConn going to suffer from this, and what do you foresee as the consequences of that hit?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of know for the spring. We have a $30 million reduction in revenue for the spring associated with refunding dining and housing, and we received about $10 million in CARES support. So we have about a $20 million hole to close the gap on, and our estimates for the fall range, depending on the scenario we're in, anywhere between $50 and $120 million in lost revenue for the fall. And so we've put in place some hiring and spending restrictions, and we have a budget scenario committee that's thinking through all the various priorities that we might make in order to close the gap in the fall and still ensure that we maintain the most critical programs and educational opportunities for our students and to go forward with our research and healthcare missions as well.
Well, here's a really big picture question. I know you can handle it. You've got a physics background, so I know you know what matters. See what I did there?
The universe? Yeah.
According to BusinessInsider.com, average tuition in America rose 260% between 1980 and 2014, while over that same period, the consumer price index, the price for all consumer items, rose just 120%. Now, in the new world ushered in by this pandemic, will colleges and universities still be able to charge what they've been charging for their services?
That's a great question. Well, we're very committed at being a public flagship university to combined values of affordability, accessibility, and high quality. And those two are always in tension. And we've taken some steps this year with the Connecticut commitment to sharpen our message around being affordable and letting first generation and other college students know this is a place for them where they can affordably pursue a high quality education. We also, with the Board of Trustees, passed a new approach to tuition. We passed the smallest tuition increase last year in the recent history of UConn. And, I expect that we're going to continue to do our best to keep tuition as flat as possible in light of the hardship that that we know all of the families and are experiencing and our parents and students are experiencing.
I had read that you all were planning a free tuition program for families with an income of $50,000 or less. How has the shutdown affected those plans?
Well, fortunately, we've had really generous support from our alums and donors, and through philanthropy, we've raised enough money prior to the pandemic to pay for that commitment for the coming year. And we'll have to redouble our efforts. We will expect a bit of a hiccup as a result of the economic downturn associated with the pandemic, but we'll recharge our batteries and continue to seek the funding that we'll need in the out years to continue that program beyond.
So without the testing, without the rapid expansion of testing, and without the actual presence of a vaccine, does that scenario of students coming back on campus for the fall, does it happen without those two things?
Well, we know we can do some testing. The question is just how much, and that will determine the answer, right? So what we're focused on, we have a very robust medical school, and we have partnerships that are robust with Jackson Laboratories, and we're looking at ways that we can tap into those so that we can augment whatever testing is provided nationally through central resources like the CDC, augment them with potential in-house capacity on testing. And so between those things, we will see how much testing we can do, and then that will, in some sense, dictate how much and to what extent we can come back and when.
I remember when you took over, you talked about really piling a lot of money into establishing UConn's credentials as a research university. How is that going in this time, and to what degree are UConn's research capabilities being utilized in this time to help find solutions for the situation we're in?
Oh, great question. Absolutely. So critical research is continuing, though the research that's not related to human subjects that are in treatment trials and things like that, that would be jeopardized by interruption. And research that's not COVID-related, for the most part, has been shut down here as it has across the country. But I'm very proud of the response of the faculty. We have five rapid response grants from the National Science Foundation that's funding research related to COVID research, ranging from School of Nursing to the College of Agriculture to Engineering School, pharmacy, medicine. It's a broad approach. We have engineers working on everything from ventilators to personal protection equipment to meet immediate needs. We have staff that are using 3D laser printing, 3D printing capacity and laser cutting capacities in our research facility at the Innovation Partnership Building to provide personal protection equipment where it's short. So it's been a very active response, and I do expect us to return once the governor relaxes his stay-at-home order. We do expect some of the most low-risk and time-critical research to begin to resume in phases as soon as that order is lifted.
Two more questions. I saw a Twitter thread today. A young lady was talking about what is FAFSA? FAFSA. What does that stand for again?
FAFSA. It's a financial aid.
It's a financial aid term of some sort.
Financial aid statement. Yeah, it's the form that students and parents fill out to make themselves available for federal assistance for financial student aid.
Okay.
Well,
this person was talking about the idea that students have been told today that graduate students and others have said, have been told that in order to get some of the CARES Act money for financial aid and grants, they won't be eligible for CARES Act money if they didn't file FAFSA documentation last year. And her point to that was, well, last year was last year, but now things have changed where this situation has put many more people in need than were in need before. So people may not have needed to file that paperwork last year, but they need to file it now.
Yeah.
What do you say to her?
Oh, great question. I'm so glad you raised it because she's under a misassumption. So what she said is not correct. And this is the challenge with the Twitter world, right? So sometimes misinformation gets spread. So thanks for asking and giving me the opportunity. So yes, the Department of Education has given us guidelines in how to spend the CARES Act money, about $10 million that came to UConn for dealing with financial hardship for students and their parents. And so, yes, they have to be eligible for that, according to the Department of Education. This is not a UConn decision. This is a Department of Education decision. Students have to file, have to be eligible, which means for federal assistance, which means they have to have filed a FAFSA. But they can file it now. That's the important point. So it doesn't mean that they had to have filed it previously. And our financial aid team is working with students, encouraging them. If they haven't filed it, file it now. We will help them, and we're very committed to getting that $10 million in financial assistance to undergraduate and graduate students who need it most, and ensure that to our best, the best of our abilities, our number one priority is to ensure that financial hardship doesn't prevent students from completing their degrees.
Okay, final question. I know that
like Final Jeopardy.
Exactly, exactly. Pressure's on, right?
Yes.
So I know that so many universities around the state, they've had their students are gone from the dorm rooms, and in their place, you had some dorm rooms commandeered for first responders of various disciplines. You've had it. There was talk that some were going to be, repurposed to house as actual hospital beds and things to that effect. What is the status with UConn's dorm rooms? I know that this thing was quick. I mean, there had to be some stuff left in those dorm rooms that the kids left. What happened to all this stuff?
You're very insightful questions. In terms of repurposing, what we were able to do at the request of the state of Connecticut and then the city of Stamford was make some of our apartment-style dorm facilities down at the Stamford campus available as a kind of halfway house for recovering COVID patients. So these would be patients who had been released from area hospitals but were still infectious and unable to go home, perhaps because someone in their family was at a high risk in their household, or perhaps they didn't have a home to go to. And so a couple of weeks ago, we began taking in those patients and housing them in the Stamford dorms. At the UConn Stores campus, we have roughly 12,000 dorms. And when students moved out, we thought it was just going to be for a couple of weeks. We told them to take the essential items that they might need. It was right before spring break. Take what they might need for several weeks, but leave the rest of their things here because we anticipated they were coming back. Well, that all changed. And so we have, 12,000, probably 9 or 10,000 of those rooms are still full of stuff, as you said. And what we're guided by here is safety, and we have still close to 1,000 students in the dorms who are either unable to go home because they don't have a safe place to go, or they're international students who can't get home due to travel restrictions, whatever the case may be. And our number one priority is to keep that group safe. And so we have not let outside parties come in to remove belongings until the semester's over, and those people are, for the most part, able to move out and then safely over some period of probably a couple of weeks, we'll be spreading out the move-out process so that we can keep avoid crowd forming and keep social distance. But that's what's happening.
So during the summer, kids who still have things in those rooms will be able at some point to come back and get them.
Yeah, I hopefully, somewhere in the second half of May, in that time frame, we'll start giving students the chance to come back in shifts.
Okay. It's been a wide-ranging and very interesting conversation. UConn President Tom Katsalaeus, thank you so much for all the time.
Thank you so much, John Henry.